In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, April 20th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. New York State Republicans apparently value Donald Trump over John Kasich and Ted Cruz. The controversial real estate mogul convincingly won his home state as Cruz, coming in third, learned the hard way not to insult New York values. Trump secured 61% of the vote, Ohio Governor John Kasich 25%, and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas just 15%. Hillary Clinton soundly beat Bernie Sanders 59% to 41% in the state both contestants claim is their home state. Sean Gilliland, chairman of the Essex County Republican Committee, spoke to The World View.
Cruz and Trump don't fare well against Hillary, so my feeling is it's not a good decision for the Republicans to choose either of those two.
The World View also spoke to Roger Sikar, public relations chair for the New York Young Republicans Club, who also had hard words about Trump.
If he is the nominee, he's going to face a number of liabilities. These are going to range from his past treatment of women to questions of his moral character, questions of his business ethics, questions of his personal ethics, things like Trump University. You know, we certainly have not heard the last of that. Hiring illegal workers, the whole gamut. I can't imagine a Republican candidate who faces more potential questions than Donald Trump.
Daniel 2:21 says, no matter the outcome, God will have all his holy will, for he changes the times and seasons, and he removes kings and sets up kings. U.S. military rescue planes came to the aid of the Japanese in a remote part of southern Japan, hit by two earthquakes that struck Thursday and Saturday, killing nearly 50 people and stranding more than 1,000. At least five are dead and thousands missing after a storm carrying 16 inches of rain hit Houston, Texas. Television footage featured swimming horses with life-jacketed rescuers, children in trash cans, and totes floated by parents in waist-deep water, while others used refrigerators and freezers as boats to escape the unexpected flooding. The Taliban is taking credit for a pair of deadly explosions at a national security station in Kabul, Iraq, that killed 28. The explosions came as Secretary of Defense Ash Carter made his third visit to Iraq. Ash announced the addition of more than 200 U.S. military personnel, as well as new equipment in the form of Apache attack helicopters. This came just in time as combined forces are set to try to retake Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, from ISIS. The death toll quickly continues to rise above 400 people following a deadly 7.8 earthquake near Quito, Ecuador. One American and two Canadians were confirmed among the dead, but the news of three rescued from the rubble of a mall after being trapped 32 hours gave hope for those whose loved ones were still unaccounted for. Jonah prayed after his deliverance. At the roots of the mountain, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought me up from the pit, O Lord, my God. According to Charisma News, the Alliance of Baptists have ordained their first openly transgendered minister, Allison Dillon Robinson. Anatomically a man and ordained as one, was reordained after he reapplied for ordination as a woman. Actress Doris Roberts, who played Marie Barone, the nosy and overbearing mother to Ray Romano's character on the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, died on Monday. She was 90. Writer and director Pat Nesserato is bringing a new, controversial film to the theaters in the fall. Voiceless will take direct aim at the pro-life versus pro-abortion debate with conviction and compassion in an effort to engage the church. The story is about a leader who risks his life to stand against an abortion mill that set up shop across the street from his church. Nesserato, also known for his work on The Passion of the Christ, Bella, and The End of the Spear, told The World View his goal with the movie was not to body slam those who disagree with us or alienate them before we've had the chance to talk with them.
We want the church to get involved, but for the pro, the non-Christian households and even the pro-choice households, I guess you could say, One of the things we'd like to do is to spark, first of all, this movie doesn't alienate that group of people. Yet we didn't compromise, as you'll see. We take a very hard stand against abortion. So I would love for this to be a way for pro-choice people to look at our side.
For he that will save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall save it. Luke 17:33. And that's the worldview on this Wednesday, April 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack also in studio with us today as we talk about a significant problem in America. But first, this interesting article from North Carolina. North Carolina is getting all kinds of boycotts right now, Bill. A major porn site has announced that it's blocking North Carolina users because North Carolina has taken a position against the transgendered bathroom thing.
So you got a porn site taking the high moral ground on this one?
Yep, they're taking the higher moral ground as defined by their worldview, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah.
Along with Bruce Springsteen and the NBA, I might add. Yeah. The higher moral ground.
Yeah.
You know, again, it gets us back to where we establish our morals. You know, cannibals have moral ground, too.
Everybody has morals.
Sure they do. Everybody's got morals, including cannibals and porn sites boycotting North Carolina. And the Utah government declared pornography a public health crisis recently, and we're going to deal with that on an upcoming program. But Utah, of course, having the highest porn download rate in the country, thanks to the fact that they have the highest church attendance rate as well. In fact, we traced it to the highest download counties and found those were the very, very highest church attendance rates in the state of Utah. The Mormon religion is showing its colors, at least on the internet. One of the nice things about the internet, it does give us something of an honest reflection of what is really happening in America. People think they're hiding out in the basement doing this or that, but it does sort of reveal the true heart of the American people. So that's one of the nice things about the internet. At one point, you could sort of hide out and, you know, your privacy was somewhat protected outside of the fact that God knew what you're doing all the time. But people who think they can get away with whatever they're getting away with today with their iPhones and everything else are sadly mistaken. But what I really want to get to on this edition of the program, Bill, is the front page Time Magazine article that is right in front of you there on the table. And that is an entire article, an entire magazine, more or less dedicated to the problem of pornography.
Yep.
That's it.
Cover story, why young men who grew up with internet porn are becoming advocates for turning it off.
Yes. And also, you'll note the inside subtitle reads, Porn and the Threat to Virility. Evidently, they see that pornography attacks virility over a period of time. And the good news, quote unquote, is that there is less sex in the back of the station wagon at the drive-in theater, producing perhaps a little less teenage pregnancies. And the left touts this as something good. But as you know, Bill, fornication is fornication. And I think, you know, we've got to call a spade a spade. And the world has no basis upon which to call these things good or bad. The drawback that Time Magazine sees with pornography is that you have less opportunity to engage in fornication with real people. Yep. And that becomes the drawback. And so, you know, every magazine, of course, has its worldview, and Time has its worldview, and fornication is one of the highest values of the modern man since the sexual revolution of the 1960s. So therefore, at this point, they are seeing pornography as a problem if it gets in the way of other more preferred forms of fornication. But pornography is a major problem, and they make a good point out of that. You see the graph on the first couple pages of the article. Wow, it was substantial. By the way, Josh McDowell, Covenant Eyes, just did a conference down in the South, I think it was Georgia, in which they were touting the figures that Christians are dabbling into pornography at the rates of 80-90%. We're talking church-attending Christians, meaning that 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 Christians attending your church are no doubt dabbling in pornography. And statistics there indicate that porn views have doubled in the last 4 years. Now, I want you to think about that just for a sec. And by the way, quadrupled over the last 8 years. That means it's going like this. Now, my hand is going in the upwards direction here, and it is
dramatically upwards.
It is an exponential rise in the use of pornography. And friends, this is what happens when Pandora's box opens wide. This is the result of the sexual revolution of the 1960s, and I'm not sure society has ever had to face anything quite this significant. There are 259 million United States users and 107 million United States unique visitors over the last month, according to Pornhub.com. Bill, 259 United States users, I thought, isn't that pretty much the population of America?
I thought it was.
I think it's getting close. So I did a little calculation, found I eliminated the 3 to 11-year-olds because for the most part, or 0 to 11-year-olds, for the most part, 0 to 11-year-olds do not participate on the internet as the 12-plusers do. So I took that number out and found that there were 269 million Americans above the age of 11.
269. And we've got 259
million users.
Users.
According to Pornhub.com. So, friends, that leaves 10 million United States adults that have not visited pornography sites as users. Friends, that's only 10 million United States citizens, adults over the years of 11 years of age. And by the way, from 11 to 16, you're still not using porn all that much. I think the numbers are down around 30-40%. So it's fairly low for those who are between 11 and 15 years of age. Friends, 10 million United States adults have not visited pornography sites. That's not much purity left.
That's because they don't have internet.
That's possible too, right?
I mean, I would be curious as to what percentage of the adult population has access to internet, and I would bet that it's going to cut that number down a little bit there.
Might, yeah. That's only 3.7% of adults in America have not used porn. That's only 3.7% of American adults over 11 years of age have not used pornography. That's just mind-boggling to me, Bill.
It says that 46% of men and 16% of women ages 18 to 39 intentionally view pornography on any given week. 11 to 13 is the average age of the first porn viewing for boys.
Yeah. It's really sad. 80% of young men are hooked on porn. That is, they are visiting porn sites on a weekly or a monthly basis to do what they do on the pornography sites. 80% of young men in America are hooked on pornography. Friends, and the numbers are sometimes equal or somewhat higher for Christian kids attending Christian churches. 90% of men have viewed pornography over the last year, according to the article. Friends, these numbers are out of control. It wasn't as if that was happening in 1970. It wasn't as if 90% of American males were hitting the Playboy stand in 1975. Friends, these numbers are completely exponential. This is where America has gone. This is where your church is today. And I think as Christians, we need to throw the flag on the play and speak to these things more and more. Certainly, the secular magazines are indicating that this is something of a problem because it's affecting virility. It's affecting relationship. It's objectifying women, and men are incapable of interacting with women as they once could because this habitual objectification that happens through pornography. So for these reasons, this is a major crisis, and I'm not saying it's a major health crisis. I'm saying it's a major spiritual crisis. It's a major social crisis. It's a major civilization crisis, a sexual crisis, and of course, it will affect families. It will affect relationships and marriage for the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years. This may be the end of America as we know it. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. We want to talk about how to deal with a problem of pornography that's now so out of control. It's on the front page of Time Magazine. This is Kevin Swanson in studio.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham Brothers and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noaaconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noaaconference.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today. 3.7% of American adults have not availed themselves to pornography sites. It's only 3.7% of Americans, American adults over 11 years of age, my friends. That's a shocking statistic. I have a hard time believing that. But as I speak to young men, it's very rare I ever run into a young man who says, I've never been to a pornography site. I've never seen pornography. I've run into 2 to 3 young men. I've asked them the question, and they answer me in that regard. When I was a young man, I didn't have a whole lot of warning. I didn't have a lot of accountability for a period of time in my life. And in my early 20s, I had a few opportunities to view some pornography, and it did negatively affect me. And I've since repented of that. I'm thankful that God has preserved me from any kind of an addiction. And he has cleansed me in so many ways over the last 40, 50 years of my Christian life. So I'd like to be open to folks and just say, hey, God has been good to me, and I have no interest, and I have never seen a pornography site outside of clicking on a link from Covenant Eyes for somebody who I served as an accountability partner for. So outside of that, I've not been to pornography sites. So 2 or 3 times over the last 10 years, I have clicked on something that led me to a site for 4 to 5, 6 seconds. And when I realized where I was, I backed out of it. But bottom line, friends, is this is a huge, huge scourge upon this country. And it began in the 1870s when photography was first discovered. And it wasn't long before they began to publish obscene books and some pornography, which, of course, would be very tame compared to what we have today. In 1872, there were 144 obscene books that had been published. And Anthony Comstock is a famous moral warrior who began to work on eliminating the problem of pornography in the 1870s. By 1880, there were only 2 books in print in all of New York. They had only found 20 pounds of books and 25 pictures and destroyed them as part of the Society for the Suppression of Vice. Only a very, very small percentage of men had any access whatsoever to pornography. It was only the dirty old men that hung out in the largest cities like New York City. In 1896, the first Kiss was filmed. That was the first Kiss and would have been seen as obscene and something that nobody would want to witness on the movie screen. That was 1896. The first Kiss was filmed in 1908. The earliest surviving hardcore pornographic film was distributed, and censors destroyed most of the other early examples of the genre. That was in 1908, and the genre was only available at brothels. In 1951, Hugh Hefner started Playboy. That was in 1951. And in 1969, Denmark legalized pornography, becoming the first country on earth to formally do so. Now, understand, my friends, it was the 1960s that the sexual revolution occurred in the Western world. The sexual revolution is central for the destruction of sexuality and our present society, such that the divorce rates, the shack-up rates, the pornography addictions, et cetera, would explode in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s to destroy entire civilizations. And pornography becomes the ultimate Pandora's box. Once you open the box, all of that evil just spreads out into the world, as we read in the old Greek myth on Pandora's box. Well, it's impossible to close it at this point short of the elimination of entire civilization and the rebuilding of it sometime in the future. From my perspective, outside of a tremendous revival or spiritual reformation across the country. Bill, you know, we're not seeing that. We're certainly not seeing it in the church. The church has higher porn download rates or equal porn download rates than that we see in the world. And Mississippi and Utah are the highest church attending rates in the country. Baptists down in Mississippi, Mormons out in Utah. And these states have the highest porn download rates in the country. So I wouldn't expect any kind of a reformation anytime too soon, at least in the state of Mississippi or Utah. Friends, we're talking about a tremendous scourge upon an entire nation. And yes, it has tremendous destructive effects upon perhaps the virility of men, but more importantly, as far as we see, a spiritual scourge, a spiritual destructive force upon pastors, youth pastors, upon fathers, even upon mothers. Certainly it leads to lots and lots of other forms of sexual abuse, and on it goes. The scourge, the destruction it brings to a family, to marriage, to multi-generations is beyond anything that I could estimate at this point, sitting here in my studio in the basement of my home in Elbert County, talking about somehow surviving as a civilization. Well, there are direct connections also to Obergefell, and I think we need to bring this out. John MacArthur and Al Mohler have both referred to this in recent books and messages they've given post-Obergefell. And Bill, these are the connections between pornography, contraception, and homosexuality, according to our brothers Al Mohler and John MacArthur and others. Number one, all three of these things constitute childless sex. So that's one of the most important connections that these men, these great pastors of our present day, have made concerning pornography, contraception, and homosexuality. Think about it. All three of these things constitute a form of childless sex, where there's sexuality without any real objective towards the bearing of children. So all three constitute childless sex. Number two, pornography, contraception, homosexuality tend towards the most selfish, the self-seeking in the history of the world when it comes to pleasure. Number three, self-gratification. Certainly within the realm of pornography leads towards homosexuality. In the history of the church, self-gratification has always been seen as a form of homosexuality light. Because, and I don't want to describe too much of what happens in self-gratification. I don't even want to use the word that the world uses in relation to it. But self-gratification has to do with a form of homosexuality, because there isn't a man and a woman coming together as God has designed in the marriage relationship. And then finally, Time Magazine, this article that I just referred to, this front page Time Magazine on pornography. Time Magazine has pointed out that there is some indication that porn has a liberalizing effect. Heterosexual male users are more likely than their peers to approve of same-sex marriage. So as we think about 44%, of millennial evangelicals supporting Obergefell, and that number is pretty firm. You'll see that on Pew Research. 44% of evangelical young people support homosexual marriage. It's 44%, almost half of these young people attending your evangelical churches. You know, the guys hanging out in the big mega church, the box churches, listening to the big bands and kind of doing the swaying back and forth. The evangelical youth today tend to support homosexual marriage. Now, why would these heterosexual males tend to support homosexual marriage? Well, one reason, according to Time Magazine, is that there is a correlation between porn use and the support of homosexuality. I think, Bill, I think the connection is just probably because, you know, all forms of fornication are interrelated, and once you accept one, it sort of leads on to accepting others. Once Pandora's box is opened and you accept one form of aberrant sexuality, you're probably going to accept other forms as well.
You know, it's fascinating, Kevin, because here we have Time Magazine, secular magazine, very liberal magazine, and they're sounding the alarm that Christians have been sounding for 20, 25, 30 years now, mm-hmm. even more than that, since Playboy. And yet now the chickens have come home to roost. We're seeing problems. And even Time Magazine is saying it's a problem. And so Christians need to press this one. Christians need to say, okay, look at what Time Magazine said. We need to call for legislation. We need to call for action. We need to contact those in positions of authority and press this, because this gives you ammunition to do so. I was looking up XXXChurch.com, which is an organization that assists men who are addicted, does a monitoring, gives videos and training for men on how to avoid this problem. And so I typed in XXX and I didn't type in church, and boom, there you go. It sent me to, do you want to go here? And I'm going, no, I don't want to go there. And so it is everywhere. You mm-hmm. cannot avoid
yeah.
this problem. And we as parents need to monitor our children. We as adults need to guard our eyes. We as adults need to start calling for legislation and press this. Time has given us some ammunition, I believe.
I think one of the first things we've got to do as Christians is properly assess the magnitude of the problem. And I think we need to express it. We assess it and express it. I think as leaders, pastors, any kind of leaders in media, any kind of leaders in Christian schools and Christian universities, they need to remind their congregants and themselves of the magnitude of the problem. And the fact is, friends, we're looking at a derelationalized age. Remember that man has absorbed himself in the ultimate forms of derelationalization in the present age. And this happens through the use of media. It happens through various forms of escape. People escape on 100,000 different exit ramps off the highway of reality in the present day. They become Cain the Vagabond on steroids. More and more, because they're isolating themselves. So let's get to the more fundamental issue, that as we isolate ourselves from each other, we're also isolating ourselves from God. Man wants to seal himself in a hermetically sealed container, and that he can't relate anymore. So relationship itself is shot to pieces, not just with pornography, but tens of thousands of other ways, the way we use media, the way we use other things. So we have to see this as a deeper issue, as a fuller issue, as a more expansive issue, and understand the magnitude of the problem. Of course, please understand that you're going to ruin sexuality if you use pornography. You will ruin it to some extent over a period of your life. Now, God does, by his grace, restore the years the locusts have eaten. We see this happening again and again. The best thing is to turn to God. You know, government's not going to save us from this. At this point, the lid is open on this thing, Bill. There's not much government can do. At this point, I think it's only God that can save us now.
Yes.
I don't think government can save us at this point. I think it's going to be Jesus who's going to have to save us from these incredibly horrific destructive elements that are destroying us. Now, the destructive elements are obvious. They're obvious to Time Magazine. It's on the front cover of Time Magazine. It's obvious to every church. It's obvious to every Christian who ever dabbled in porn. It's obvious to everybody. This is 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times worse socially, sexually, etc., than it was in 1910. We all know that. Society has broken down its previous social mores using gigantic wrecking balls. It took a lot of work to bring all this to destruction. But at this point, we as Christians need to acknowledge the problem is still sin. We're all sinners. And we need to come to grips with the vileness and the destructiveness of sin, and then turn to Christ and realize, you know what, there's a reason why the Son of God came all the way down here. A very special person, an eternal person in the Godhead, has to come all the way down here and get into the womb of a virgin, and then is born, and then he suffers a life of humiliation and eventually torture and death for our sins. Now, that's important. That atonement, that redemption accomplished something. As Jesus said in John 8, if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. So let's not underestimate what he did.
And as you said, it's all about relationship. Yeah. We want to isolate ourselves. We want to be autonomous. And this is about relationship. This is also about community. We as brothers and sisters in Christ can hold each other accountable. And there are organizations out there like Covenant Eyes, like XXX Church, that can offer assistance in accountability. You need to get a coach. You need to get people around you who are godly, who will say, I will hold you accountable. And relationship is important.
And number one, a relationship with Christ. And there are many who are attending churches who aren't Christians. And I think we need to remember that. And there are some listening to this program, I'm convinced, that need Jesus. So there are unbelievers that don't understand the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and the cleansing influence of Christ's blood for our sins. And I just want to express this, you know, that the average guy, the average unbeliever is probably not going to see his addictions dealt with any other means than the blood of Jesus. And, you know, I've talked to some folks who have been tied up with some of these porn recovery sites that are mentioned actually in this article in Time Magazine. And these guys tell me that on the forums, they see the unbelievers coming back again and again and again. And it's the believers. It's the ones who claim that they found their freedom in Jesus who are clean and clean forever. You know, it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Christians find final relief and freedom in Jesus Christ. And I think these secular porn recovery sites will bear that out for us. But let's talk to believers. For believers, as Bill just mentioned, it's important to have accountability. It's important to have confession. Be transparent as well, Bill. And I think that's the tool that Covenant Eyes and other operations allow for us, is they give us an opportunity to be transparent. Now you can, if you don't have a heart for it, you can just, you know, climb over the fences anytime you want to. But if you want to be transparent, if you want to walk in the light as he is in the light and confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's remind believers to put to death the deeds of the flesh, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So Paul says in Ephesians 5, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So that's what believers are to be doing. Why? Because they've got the power of the Spirit and the power of the risen Christ working in and through them. Now, here, let's apply this for just a moment. Let's say you're a believer. You're 17 years old, 18 years old, and you went to watch a James Bond movie in which you caught just a little bit of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, a little bit of the coolness, a little bit of the lustfulness, and it seemed to be attractive to some element of your flesh. Now, here's the question. Are you drawn to the lust and the fornication and the immodest clothing of the women in the Bond films? If you're drawn to it, that element that's drawn to it needs to be put to death. Put to death the desires of the flesh. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And remember, it's the PG-13 lustful stuff that softens you to the R-rated lustful stuff, which softens you to the X-rated lustful stuff, which eventually softens you to the pedophiliac porn and the other abominations. So if you're approving of the PG-13 stuff, it won't be long before you're approving of homosexuality and pedophilia. And that's pretty much the way it always goes. So Bill, I think pretty much any young man, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, 35, 45 years of age, is probably got some element of his system that is drawn to some sort of licentiousness or lustfulness.
It's because we as men are drawn by our visual. Okay?
Right. And so what does the Word of God say? Kill it.
Yeah.
Kill it. You say, well, how do I kill it? Confess it. Be accountable. Be transparent. And then begin to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove it. Don't accept it, but reprove it. So you've got fornicating scene on a James Bond film where it's not unusual where this guy fornicates. What do? You accept it or reprove it? You see how your mind can go either direction on that?
Yep.
Friends, this is the Christian life. You'll read about it in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. I encourage you to it. All right. That's the Christian life. But for those of you who have a hard time and you're saying, well, I'm so addicted to this, I have no power over this. This thing's got all its power over me. May I suggest to you that you turn to Jesus who sets us free. He sets the captives free. He came to set you free. We've got several books on pornography on our website, generations.org. I'd encourage you to some of those resources. We're going to keep those on our websites. One of them is Setting Captives Free. It's an entire course that we've used in our church for some of the men in our church, and I'd recommend that as a tremendous resource for those of you who have found yourself in this bondage. Well, my friends, Jesus Christ really has set captives free. I run into men all the time who are ex-porn addicts, who have walked away from it and have been clean for 25 years. That can happen, and it can happen to anybody listening right now to this radio program. Folks, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.